Welcome, fabled guests, to the 83rd episode of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, where we value letting other people have their joy, even if we don't necessarily share in it. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
And tonight we'll be discussing Aesop's concept of sour grapes, especially as it applies to geeks, freaks, and fanboys of all stripes. But before we discuss raining on each other's parade, we'll march down memory lane with our usual weekly geekly roundup. Brian, what have you been up to in this past week?
Oh man, I had a charitable week, actually. I've been all about Santa this December. On Saturday, I got my buddy Lester to do a little bit of volunteer work at the Stranahan House in Fort Lauderdale. They were doing a Cookies with Santa event, and we were the photography team for that. So I spent Saturday with 65 kids who all still believed in Santa. It was kind of crazy.
Sounds magical.
A little bit. Beyond that, speaking of Santa, I did take place in a Secret Santa, an internet exchange. So I got my Arcane Tempest Gun Mages from some gentleman named Ian. Thank you, Ian. And I sent out my gift. So I won't tell you what, just in case that gentleman happens to be a listener here. But some dude named Joshua should be looking forward to some exciting War Machine toys in the near future.
Sounds good. Does that pretty much wrap it up?
That wraps up my giving so far this week.
Cool.
What about you, Tom?
I've had kind of a not so exciting week this week. Just been playing some games, really. Haven't been doing much besides that. Beat Killzone on my second playthrough after the PlayStation 8, my first save. And after beating that, decided I wanted to continue my campaign in Battlefield, only to find that DICE, the makers of Battlefield, ate that save. So I had to start that campaign all over again on the Xbox One. Yeah, that stunk. But aside from that, watching the Hobbit movie over and over again on demand so that I could be ready for the new movie, The Desolation of Smaug, which is the way you're supposed to pronounce it, apparently, instead of Smaug, which is the way I've always pronounced it, and pretty much everybody I know who's a fan of The Hobbit has always pronounced it. Do you have any opinion on that?
I did have a few drunken bar fights with people who pronounced it Smaug. I guess I'm going to have to go back and apologize to those poor souls.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is Peter Jackson just like such a huge nerd that like, he actually is pronouncing things the way you're supposed to? Like, was it actually Smaug the whole time and we just were wrong?
I hate to say it, but I think that is the case. I think that was the intent for him not to be called Smaug because he's smoky or anything, but apparently his name was just similar to that word.
So Smaug and Sauron and Sauruman are all the proper pronunciations of these names.
Unnecessary exaggeration aside, I guess his name is Sauron, not Sauron. So Smaug, Sauron.
All right.
It sounds forced, doesn't it?
It does, but it also makes it cooler when you... It does sound like you're pronouncing a cool, like, foreign language. Like, I will admit, when I heard them rolling R's when they were saying, like, Isildur's name in the original Lord of the Rings trilogy, I thought that was kind of cool. So, I guess I'll accept Smaug. It's just weird for me to say it, because I've said Smaug for so long. I'll have to adapt. Or, another approach I could take is that I could just not watch the movie, because it's probably going to suck anyway, right? I mean, it's not going to be good.
You have a harder time taking the good with the bad than I do. I'll probably enjoy it.
Well, I guess I was really trying to segue into tonight's point, which is the whole sour grapes concept. And anybody not familiar with that ancient fable, it basically goes like this. There's a fox that wants some grapes. The grapes are beyond his reach. So in order to resolve the conflict of wanting the grapes and not being able to have them in his mind, the fox concludes internally that they're probably sour anyway, and who wants those lousy grapes? Does that pretty much do it justice, Brian?
Close enough.
Imagine now from the perspective of a Hobbit hater, you know, he wants to see the movies, but he's like he wants to stay true to Tolkien. So I think somebody practicing the sour grapes way of coping would say that movie's just gonna suck. Nothing will ever live up to the books. I don't want to see it. I can't see it, etc. It wasn't worth seeing anyway. That's a fair way to give a first example, is it not?
Seems to be.
Okay, since you accept that, I want to get into some other examples that have come up recently, especially surrounding the recent launches of the next generation systems and all of the hatred and bile and just overt jealousy on display from all quarters surrounding that launch. If you have a person that doesn't, they don't have the money to get the new systems, or that they're timid about jumping on the new systems, it's not enough to just let the people that did get the systems enjoy them. They've got to crap all over it. They got to let you know what a fool you are to have bought this system. Or in the case that they're a fanboy and they like the PS4 and not the Xbox or vice versa, they have to give you 101 reasons why your choice was the wrong choice. Because deep down, they probably want both systems, but for whatever reason, either because of financial reasons or because of loyalty, they're only going to own one. And they've just, it's not enough that they enjoy their good time and you enjoy yours. They've got to crap on yours. And I think that's something that's really pronounced in the nerd community, in the gamer community, but the nerd community in general.
It's been a little crazy lately, hasn't it? I'm a little surprised at day one vehemence.
Right, and why? It's understood that when you buy a new next generation console, you're bleeding edge. You're going to be, unfortunately, one of the people that might suffer a hardware failure, right, in the first run. This is known. You might end up with a cool new system with only a handful of games, because there's always a handful of launch titles and it takes a while for games to come out. That's also known. This isn't rocket science. Everybody goes in knowing that. But people that don't get the systems for whatever reason, like, feel the need to gleefully point these things out as though it's like brand new revelation.
I have not hidden my preference for PlayStation 4 at all this generation. I'm not a huge fan of the Xbox One because of its design theory and everything. I think it was more of a, well, I'll put it this way. I think it was less of a gaming machine than it should have been. But, I mean, a lot of people just want that system to fucking die horribly. And I don't see it. You have one. You claim to enjoy it. Good for you.
Thank you. I mean, I don't understand why that can't be the beginning and the end of it. And, you know, come on, if you want, come on over and just play my Xbox and enjoy it. It's a gaming system. If you don't like it, that's fine. But I don't understand this need to divide into camps and be so territorial and be so opinionated about choices. This is a real nerd trait, without a doubt. And it goes beyond gaming. It goes into, like, what pen and paper RPG system you like, what edition of D&D you play. Take your pick. What series of books you read?
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Trek or Star Wars? You can't just like both, because they both have their merits. You've got to crap on another one. And the messed up thing is, it's not like sports where teams are pitted against each other. And by rooting for one team, you want it to succeed to the exclusion of the other teams, obviously, because there can only be one winner. These are things that can totally coexist without overlapping and without there being any conflict, but people still feel the need to draw these false battle lines and just completely crap on other people's good time. I don't get it.
Can't help you there, man. I've never understood it. I've never understood Star Wars, Star Trek. I've never understood... Shit, I didn't understand GoBots versus Transformers. I mean...
Me neither, actually. I really don't understand. This is another one that rubs me the wrong way. Martin, the Song of Ice and Fire guy, versus Tolkien. He's better than Tolkien. Oh, all, and it all stems from that Clerks 2 movie, right? Where the guy made a funny joke about all the walking that went on in the movies. People have then taken that and extrapolated it out to the books. And yeah, most of the book is them just like walking through dales and fjords and stuff. And it's really not fun. Whereas Martin paints a much more vivid blah, 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 blah. Yeah, they're different. They're totally different. The authors approach things from different perspectives and we're telling stories in different ways. But come on, man, there'd be no Martin without Tolkien. Give me a break.
I'm lucky to have not been a huge part of that one. Not too many people I know bring that up.
Do yourself a favor and don't delve too deeply into Reddit or subreddits or any message boards, especially around A Song of Ice and Fire. It seems like it's more coming from that direction towards Tolkien. Maybe it's like the new, quote-unquote new generation, although at this point that new generation's going back to the 90s, right?
Is it the cool kids trying to get in on the old favorite?
Well, to a certain extent, yeah, because the HBO show probably hasn't helped. But I can't really blame it on that, because though there is an HBO show, there are like a series of movies out for Tolkien's work. So hard for me to pin the blame on the television adaptation. But I think I think it's cool to like certain book series. I hate to think that fantasy books are trendy, but they seem to be. And let's be honest, there's a lot of better fodder for these comparisons. For example, Hunger Games versus Twilight. There's two series I don't like. Bash those. Just don't bash the stuff I like.
That was Takai's thing, wasn't it? Why argue Star Trek versus Star Wars when we can all just hate on Twilight?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, and that's genius. By the way, it's pronounced Takai in the Tolkienic style, just so you know. It's interesting to consider the psychology behind this. What? Just try to put yourself in the position of one of these people. Put yourself in the position of the late adopter, right? The late adopter is going to get the Xbox One in like 2 years, right? When it's an established system. And the late adopter can't just patiently wait and go over his friend's house to play the Xbox One. He's got to make his friends feel like crap for the next 2 years until he gets the system. And then once he gets it, it'll be okay. What's up with that? What kind of psychology is that? Like, until I join the club's no good.
Well, it'll be worth $200, but it was never worth $500.
Oh, the price goes down. So look how much smarter I am. I get the new one with, like, the larger hard drive. And the 2 years I went without the system doesn't count for anything because, you know, sour grapes, I didn't want it, right?
Right. There's no, like, you know, there's no monthly value.
So to go back to the analogy, if the fox waits for 2 years and the grapes eventually, like, fall off the tree, then they're delicious. But the whole time they were up there out of his reach and only birds could get to them, they were, like, awful, right?
Yeah, there's a certain something to that. They're not ripe until they plop.
Right. Until they're in my reality. They're not. They don't exist. They're not worth even considering as a tasty treat. Again, though, not that either of us are qualified to discuss psychology. What is it that makes people behave this way? Because anybody's invited to come play my system, whether they own it or not. So what? You know what I mean? Why? It's not like people are necessarily excluded. I mean, I think most people are willing to share. So if you don't have a certain system, I'd be more than happy to let you play mine. If you don't like a certain book series, if you haven't read a certain book series, I'd be happy to let you borrow mine and read it. Like, why are nerds specifically so just apt to hate on things?
I blame the internet.
Like hive mind?
I blame hive mind and anonymity. For I hate everything that I did not promote, that I was not there in the beginning for, that I was not an early adapter.
That's an interesting way to look at it. So you think if these people weren't the first ones at the party, they feel left out, even though the door's still open and anybody can join the party at any time?
I don't know if it's so much left out. I think people want to be the leader and bring this cool thing to their friends. And if they're not the leader, they hate whatever you're leading on.
But they're choosing not to be the leader. They're making the choice not to be the leader on the Xbox One and the PS4.
Had to bring it up first. I had to say, dude, PS4 looks awesome. And immediately that guy's like, no, man, fuck that. Shit, now I lost it. All right, I'm Xbox. Like,
wow, I don't get that. Like, really, how much of your self-worth is tied up in being the first person to buy a consumer gadget? Come on.
I do know some people like that. I do know a few people who, for whatever reason, they're afraid to be the follower. So they have to choose one of the popular opinions.
Well, then lead. At least lead by choosing an opinion. Again, I'll just get back to the consoles. Buy one or the other. Don't buy neither and shit on both until you decide it's time to not shit on both.
You ever hear all the stories of people, like, waiting until a war is won to pick a side?
Yeah.
It's hard to stand up for what you actually believe in. It's hard to actually believe in something.
But there's nothing to believe in. I mean, this makes about as much sense as the whole... Remember the old, like, stickers in the 90s with the Calvin and Hobbes ripoff guy pissing on Chevy or pissing on Ford?
Yes. I still see some of those down here.
Look, I get it. You like a Chevy, you like a Ford. You don't like... And you like one to the exclusion of the other. But really... Is it that much? If I roll up in my F-150 and you're a Chevy fan, do we really have a problem? I guess some good-natured ribbing is one thing, but I even get brand loyalty and brand preference, but why can't it just begin and end with you? Like, why does your brand preference have to extend to everyone else, or else there's, like, an issue?
Well, when there's absolutely no fear of reprisal, and when you have 100 people at your back, when does friendly ribbing become pretty vicious?
Okay, and then now we're back to the internet again. Now we're back to Reddit, where, like, you know, you've got all kinds of vile things being said about somebody because they bought a certain game console or read a certain book. Oh, boy. Okay, I'm liking the blame the internet thing. I think the internet does have a tendency to bring out the worst in people, doesn't it? It is the anonymity. It is also in part the ability for a hive mind to form ad hoc and for every node in that mind to be safely anonymous.
And it goes beyond the internet. The internet just kind of makes it an art form. It's mob mentality en masse.
Okay, but again, I get mob mentality in the French Revolution. Like, there's a real beef with the royals there. I get it. But come on, this stuff's not important. Like, is this just, and I hate to use this hackneyed term, is this just like first world problems writ large?
There may be great examples of mob mentality, but there's also terrible ones, meaningless ones. You know, he has a different sexuality than I do. He's a different skin color than I do. It's easier to care about that in a group than it is to actually go up to someone and punch them in the face and say, I don't like you because.
You make a really good point. I guess I'd rather have a bunch of people geeking out over what consumer items they do or don't like, as opposed to hating one another for things that are beyond their control. Talking about me being an early adopter of both systems reminds me of another thing. You want to talk about being an early adopter. This is something that extended past just the sort of nerd circle. So I can kind of confirm that this phenomenon exists outside our ranks and in the broader society. Remember when the first iPhone came out back in like 2007? Well, I bought it. My crappy flip phone had broken. And then I was borrowing this phone that had this awful ringtone. And I'm like, hey, the iPhone's coming out. You know what? I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to get some cool new cutting edge tech. People dumped all over it. People I know today who are diehard iPhone or smartphone fans. And, oh, I love my smartphone. I love it. It's got a touchscreen. Blah, blah, blah. Crapped. I mean, just delighted in telling me how crappy my phone was. And it's got a touchscreen and no buttons. That's never going to work. Now everyone and his brother has one of those phones, and now it's cool. But back then, it was something that opened you up to ridicule. And again, over what? Because you've got a Motorola Razr and I've got an iPhone? Is this really something you need to be making fun of me for? And to the extreme point that one of my friends called me, quote unquote, a consumer whore for buying the iPhone. Like, what? I bought a gadget that I like. How is this any different than you owning something?
I got shit for owning a Galaxy the other day.
Really?
Apparently, it's the new anti-Apple choice, so everyone who owns one must only own it because they are taking an anti-Apple stance.
Wow, that's a new one for me. Are you serious?
Totally.
So I rebel against the evil empire that is Apple by buying a phone made by the scrappy, like, garage-based upstart called Samsung?
Yes, the upstart evil empire.
Right. Because I never heard, until the Galaxy phones came out, I never heard of Samsung. What do they even make? I've never owned a single one of their products, and they're not like some giant multinational or anything.
Well, apparently they're getting the televisions now that their phones are a success.
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, they're going to have to compete with the Apple TV, which is not a TV, but is rather some kind of a media box. Wow, yeah. That's a new one for me. But there you go, another case in point. You have to have some kind of agenda if you chose this phone. People ask me all the time. I've been with the iPhone since the beginning, more or less. I own one Android phone in between. But I was tired of the iPhone. I wanted to switch over to something new. So I saw the Galaxy S, whatever I have, S4. Big screen, looked really nice. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to jump over to Android. I want a change of pace for a few years. My God, people to this day are still approaching me like, oh, so you went to Android, huh? Oh, what, were you done with Apple? Boy, how is that? I bet that's all. Like, they ask me how the phone is, expecting me to tell them it's not as good. Or they ask it with like this cynical tone of voice, like, you went to an Android phone, huh? There's some people that are just hardcore. And so, again, the same people that weren't on board with me when I bought that original iPhone are the ones who are now diehard iPhone fans.
I got tired of my old phone, called AT&T. Hey, what's on sale? Well, we have Galaxy S3s for $9.99. All right, I'll take it. That was my thought process.
Let's face it, we're just going to have incremental progress with these phones. It's going to have icons, you press them and they do stuff. Big whoop. Like, why are you in one camp or another? And – You know, I have a Galaxy because I was, at least on the phone front, tired of Apple. Their innovation for this latest phone was just they took the same phone and made it a little bit longer. And I understand it's like 0.6 ounces lighter and all this other stuff, but that didn't really wow me. So I wanted a change of pace. But I don't hate Apple. I still own like 3 Mac computers. I still like their computers. I pick and choose based on what I like. I don't have to be like, I don't get having to exist in one company's ecosystem, which is another thing that is part and parcel with the sort of fanboyism or the us against them or the, you know, the grapes on this tree are sweet, those must be sour way of thinking.
I like this tree. I'm only going to eat off this tree.
Right. Never mind that there's a whole orchard to choose from. Right. Just eat off of this tree. But, you know, it's hard for us probably to see past our little subset of humanity. I'm sure this goes on. Well, I mentioned the Ford Chevy thing. I mentioned sport rivalries. This goes on in the broader context of humanity. But as with a lot of things, it just seems like nerds and geeks are exceedingly passionate about these nonsensical things.
I don't know. Maybe it's just our obsessive compulsive disorder or something like that. We take something and just run with it.
Right. So give me some advice, man. How do I handle the next time a friend of mine or an acquaintance or whoever is crapping on my choice? Like, they want to see it. First of all, I mean, should I just deny them? If somebody wants to see a new game I got or whatever, should I just deny them that opportunity because I know they're only asking so they can crap on it? Like, if I get a new thing and you say, hey, I want to come over and check that out, I really don't want your honest opinion. And if your honest opinion is going to be like, oh, I'm not impressed, oh, it sucks, keep it to yourself. Like, there's no reason to try to make me feel bad. Like, what purpose does that serve? So question one, what purpose could these people imagine that serves? Question two, how do I handle friends and acquaintances and associates like this, Brian? I want your advice as a longtime friend of mine.
I've seen a few television series make a joke out of this. But it's just one of those universal things. This actually will really work. Just say, okay.
So when somebody's, not really impressed with the Xbox, cool.
Don't give them anything to respond to whatsoever. Just, yeah, okay.
That's brilliant. So don't, like, kill them with kindness. Just kill them with, like, non-reaction to their cynicism.
That's pretty much a period in the discussion. There's very hard to respond to. Yeah, okay.
So resist the urge to be like, you know, I didn't invite you over here to hear your negative opinions. Resist that and just let them know that their opinions don't matter.
In a hostage situation, they say just go completely limp, just like fall to the ground and make them drag you or drop you or whatever, make it as hard as possible on them. It's the same thing. Just
go to ground state. To sort of harken back to last week's episode. I like it. Is that your actual strategy? Like, have you had to deal with this yourself, or do you just like avoid letting people see stuff?
I'll usually argue it out because I do believe in convictions and I have some strong opinions and everything like that. But when it comes to the point where you recognize this is no longer discourse, this is that person's right and he knows he's right and he doesn't ever want to be told anything other than what he already knows, just... Yeah, you're right.
I like it. I like that very Jedi-like way of just dealing with, just turning aside these blows gently.
Passive resistance.
Passive resistance to annoying opinions, annoying and unsolicited opinions on consumer choices. Let me round things out by saying that I'm starting my vacation soon. And... for my vacation, I have decided to go see the sequel to The Hobbit movie, as I mentioned during the Weekly Geekly Roundup, The Desolation of Smaug. And I have been very selective in who I have considered for invitation to that event. I'm planning to see it numerous times, of course. But I have zero, and I mean zero interest in inviting anybody who doesn't like Tolkien, doesn't like The Hobbit, didn't like the first Hobbit movie, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because I'm going there to have a good time and enjoy the movie. You know, I've got my issues with sort of the liberties Jackson has taken, but I'm going in with that in mind to enjoy the movie for what it is. And I think I need to bear in mind your advice. So should I leave the theater and have somebody just completely dump on it by comparing it to some other greater movie series or whatever? I need to be prepared to just be like, okay, great. That's great. You're entitled to your opinion.
Oh, yeah. Pi was much better movie. Yep. Uh-huh.
Right, right. Battlefield Earth, so much better. Great. I've got an awesome advice for turning aside these blows. So I will keep that in mind. Speaking of keeping things in mind, listeners, if you like this and other exciting topics we discuss here on the Nerdstravaganza podcast, why not pop over to iTunes, subscribe to us, write us a favorable review, give us a maximum number of stars, or check us out on Stitcher where you can stream our show.
And while you're five-starring and liking, don't forget to visit us on Facebook, like us there, Instagram, Twitter, and Google+. You can do all your plus-oning and tweeting and following until your heart's content.
And, of course, don't forget to check out our worldwide website at nerdstravaganza.com. And feel free to drop us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com. We welcome hate mail, love letters, criticisms of our consumer choices, whatever you've got in mind. We might ignore half of that or just reply with, you're entitled to your opinion.
And apparently April, with her sultry voice, is taking script offers, so I guess we can forward it to her if you want to send it there.
That's if you enjoyed our recent episode with sultry voiced April, drop us a line. Until we hear from you, though, don't be afraid to keep your negative opinions to yourself.
Okay.